In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many years ago now, I was in my late 20s. Seems like not as many as it really has been. I had returned to the church, and as anybody in their late 20s returning to the Episcopal or arriving at the Episcopal Church in their late 20s, it didn't take long, and I was asked to run for vestry. Being obedient, I went ahead and said yes, not knowing that at some point in my life I would then spend the rest of my life on vestry. Otherwise, I may have reconsidered. But being on vestry is not a bad thing, don't hear that wrong. But it was a responsibility I was not fully understanding because I had not really understood the structure of the church. And one Sunday after church, moving over to the parish hall, I was stopped by this man. He asked me a two-part question. It is very simple, but I found myself struggling to answer him clearly. It seemed very complicated what he was asking me. He simply asked this, "Are you saved? And how do you know?" And it stopped me. And I had to think, I think what I said was, "I hope so." Probably not the answer he was hoping for. But how often has this been the struggle? And is it so true also in Paul's letter to the church in Rome? Being a follower of the one true God had become a little complicated. 600 plus rules to follow in order for you to be righteous. This concept of how you can reach out to God or how God may come to you. And Paul's beginning to address this to the church in Rome. And in verse 5, he says, and forward, he says, "Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? This is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead." There's this concept, what is happening? So it was, if you just gave me the rules to follow, I would be saved. I would be safe. I'd be a follower of this one true God. And then we have this interaction with the Messiah, Jesus, God incarnate. And suddenly there's this new concept of the God present with us. And he's trying to help the church in Rome understand his understanding of God, his theology. He has not yet been there, but he intends to go. And he wants them to know these things. And so he's referring back to the scriptures. And in verse 8, he says this, "But what does it say?" What does it say? And it says this at verse 8 through 10. "But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved." Now, that would have been a really good answer to his question, amen? If he had asked me that, and I would have said, well, as it states in the book of, as Paul wrote to his letter to the church in Rome, relatively simple. But how many of us really feel like it's simple? This last week, while skimming through all the wonderful choices you have when you spend your entire life streaming the television you watch rather than counting on television to show you whatever is on, I came across this movie just sort of randomly, or so I thought, called Jesus Revolution. Have you seen it? Yeah, you should watch that, especially if you're an old hippie. You want to check it out. Because that's really what it's about, the long-haired friends of Jesus, and it happened in the early 70s, I suspect. And there was this conversation between this pastor, it's based on a true story, the man's name is Chuck, I can't remember his last name right now, maybe some of you remember. And he's having a conversation with his wife because shockingly he allowed some hippies to come to church and the church people didn't like it. I know, we're all surprised. They didn't like it because, you know, those type of people didn't belong there. And he had had some very frank conversations with one of their leaders. But at this point, he was talking to his wife, and he's complaining about the struggle and what he should or shouldn't do, and what he should be doing with this group of people, so to speak. And she says, "The truth is always quiet. It is the lies that are loud." That is also laid out for us a little bit in our gospel today, isn't it? Jesus was very quiet. He says, "Come." The storm was very loud. And what happened to Peter when he focused on the loud? He lost the strength to walk into truth, amen? So this happens. It happens to all of us. And Chuck's response to that, as she says, "The truth is always quiet. It is the lies that are loud." He says, "It's complicated." And her simple response to him is, "The truth is simple. The truth is simple." And sitting there on the couch with my bride watching this movie, and his wife responds that way, and she just looks at me and says, "She's a good clergy spouse." And I thought, she is a good clergy spouse. How do I know? Because I have one, and she's good too. So she reminds me of the simple things when I am making things too complicated. It's just not that complicated, honestly. We make it complicated because we're unsure and we're uncertain and we're sinful. And the reality is, as a result of that, there are many, many people who walk this world, some of which sit in the pew of a church every Sunday morning, who truly do not yet understand the fullness of the simplicity of what is being said to the church in Rome today. We think about the rules. How should I behave when I'm in worship? When do I stand? When do I sit? Should I cross myself? Should I be kneeling? So that person's standing, that one's kneeling. I don't know what to do. It's confusion happens. Amen? Let me give you a little secret. If you can grow closer to the presence of God kneeling, kneel. If you're like me and sometimes that hurts too much and you're distracted by the pain, stand. So simple. Now, if being in pain brings you closer to Jesus, I understand that too, then kneel. But the reality is, it's just not as complicated as we'd like it to be. And there has been for years, and it's every single time it happens, just like in that movie, this time of renewal that took place for this group of people that were searching. There is always, brothers and sisters, a group of people searching. When we entered COVID, I would say to the leadership all the time, I said, at some point, people are going to be able to go out into the world again. And many of them who have trusted solely in the world are going to realize that they've lost control of what they knew to be true. We need to be ready when they come back because they're going to be looking for some simple truth. And that simple truth is found in Jesus Christ. And it is just that simple. Now, in order to receive those who are seeking, in order to go to those who are looking, we have to fully embrace for ourselves the simple truth that Jesus is Lord. Amen? The first creedal statement of the church, the most simple one, Jesus is Lord. Hold on to it. But there's other things that Paul says in the midst of this letter. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I think it is so subtle in our liturgy, we don't really comprehend that we actually do that every single Sunday. Every Sunday, it's laid out in our liturgy that we will confess the truth of who Jesus Christ is, our triune God in the creed. We will confess our sins to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we will, through the sacraments, know that he is with us. Amen? Now, interestingly enough, I don't think we always fully understand that as we sit in this pew as to what we're doing. And I know we don't. How do I know? Spent a lot of years sitting in that pew, didn't understand what was going on, to be honest. And people will come to me, other denominations and such, and they'll go, "Well, do you ever do an altar call?" And I said, "Yeah, every Sunday we do an altar call." But there are times, like today, when I think sometimes our altar call might be so complicated, people don't understand it's an altar call. I think sometimes they think this is a sign that we're almost to the end and the coffee should be ready. But so as we sit in the midst of this today, and as I was preparing this sermon, I thought to myself, well, in my lifetime, because I was pretty young when the things of that particular movie were taking place, certainly not old enough to understand what was happening other than the fact that guitars showed up in my Roman Catholic church. It took me years later to figure out how that happened. But the fact of the matter is I have been witness to an evangelist that most of us know. You ever heard of Billy Graham? Yeah. Filling stadiums, this man. And he would do an altar call. Lead people into the process of giving their lives to Christ in a very simple way. And I have to tell you, with my upbringing and my Episcopal traditions, I would often think, really? That's it? But as you look at what Paul's saying to the church in Rome, really? That's it? Should be our response. And there are times, I will admit, and I'm gonna call them out, I said 8 o'clock, I wouldn't. If I have a particularly energetic sermon and our organist starts to play some walk-around music, that's what plays while you're moving. We don't plan that. He, every once in a while, will play Just As I Am. Amen? Yeah. Okay, that's a little sign that he thought maybe the preacher was a little passionate that day, and which I appreciate, and it gives me a smile. So here's what your preacher's going to do for you today. Now, those of you who are familiar with other traditions, you may think you just entered into it. Because I'm afraid that sometimes in our complicated way in which we worship, we forget the very simple thing that Paul is reminding the church of today. Our job is to proclaim Jesus Lord. But in order to do that, we have to accept him as our Lord and Savior. So when Billy Graham would make that call, there's a prayer that would be used. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. There are several variations of it. I happen to have with me right now the variation you would find on the website for his ongoing ministry. I have a much simpler version that I can fit into just this many words that I personally, on a bad day, when I can't seem to stay focused, if you got into my truck and dug into the center console, you would find a Pater Nostrum cord. It's just a cord. It has a cross on one end and 50 beads on it. And I will sit there with my hand in that cup holder, and I would say that sinner's prayer, that very brief version of it, 100 times. Because there are times I just don't know what to do. And maybe that happens to you too. You want to be faithful. You want to be strong. But no matter what you do, you continually falter and fail. Your attitude isn't what it needs to be. Your focus isn't what it needs to be. And brothers and sisters, I promise you, you humble yourself before the Lord, you will find your focus. You will find your focus. So what I'm going to ask you to do today is I want you to pray these words with me. You can pray them in your head, or you can pray them out loud. That is on to you. Just remember, confessing with your lips matters. Dear God, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sin, and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord. From this day forward, guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you have never understood the concept of what it means when somebody says, have you given your life to Christ? That's what they're talking about. Confessing with your lips that which is true, Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, of course, Paul doesn't leave it at that, because Paul never does. And you may be wondering, why is this such a thing today? Well, this congregation, my personal life, has been filled with loss over the last month or so. That creates urgency for me, and it should create urgency for you, because brothers and sisters, there are far too many who do not know this simple truth, that they can confess with their lips and know in their heart that Jesus is their Lord too. And it doesn't matter who they are, whether you approve of them or disapprove of them is not the question. The question is, do they know Jesus? And if we're going to ask someone that question, we better know Jesus. And it's really this simple. In fact, if you find yourself in your life and you're watching someone who's struggling through their life and they're struggling with an issue and your conversation ends with, well, I hope they find their way, you are now beginning to understand what Paul's going to tell us next. See, if you see a brother or sister in trouble and you see them struggling and your hope is that they find their way, what you should be hearing is God placing on your heart the call to show them the way. It's not a time for you to sit back and wonder. It is a time for us to move. And Paul puts it this way in verse 14, chapter 10 and forward. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We try to make things so complicated, and so much of it is actually very simple. And just as was stated in that movie, the lies are loud. The truth is quiet. Just as we saw in the gospel today, the storm was loud. Jesus simply said to Peter, come. The lies are loud. The truth is quiet. Paul is trying to help the church in Rome understand that all that has been done and all the ways in which they have strived to follow the one true God, the first thing they need to know is God in the depth of their heart. And the way that's going to happen is when they confess with their lips and know in their heart that Jesus is Lord. And then we can move. Now, if you aren't already looking down, wondering why Father Brian is speaking this way to you today, I want you to look down at your feet. Look at your feet. Focus on them. And if right now you're thinking this is silly, I for sure want you to look at your feet and focus on them. And just look. And I want you to listen closely. You are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.